Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, August 4th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, a secret Border Patrol report shows that Ebola may have already crossed the border. Is it too late to stop a major pandemic in the U.S.? Alex Jones connects the Ebola outbreak with the open border and the homegrown terrorist threat, a government operation. Then, a Border Patrol agent admits that citizenship doesn't really exist under Obama. And the DHS is warning Americans about the number one domestic terror threat. Are you on top of the list? Find out next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
We've seen over and over again that the Border Patrol rank and file are angry about what's going on at the border. They understand the dangers involved. They've been doing this for a long time. And so we increasingly see them acting as whistleblowers, giving us information that contradicts or exposes what the leaders are doing in Washington, what Homeland Security and those who control Customs and Border Patrol are doing. Now, there was a story that was a top link on Drudge today, and it was an exclusive from Breitbart with a document that was leaked to them by a Border Patrol agent. And they say, leaked CPB report shows entire world is exploiting the open U.S. border. That's right. We are equal opportunity smugglers, the federal government is. They're bringing in people from any and every nation. And we reported just a couple of days ago how the signs down at the border, many of them are now in Chinese as well as in English and Spanish. So it's not any one particular nation. And, of course, it's nations that are also being screened for terrorism, nations where if people are coming in on an airplane at an airport, they would get special attention. But, of course, they can come through the border without any attention at all. But there's another angle to this that Drudge picked up on. He changed the headlines. What he said was, dozens from Ebola-struck countries are caught sneaking into the USA. Now, that was in the report from Breitbart. They pointed out that at least 71 individuals from the three nations affected by the current Ebola outbreak have either turned themselves in or been caught attempting to illegally enter the U.S. by authorities in the U.S. between January and July of 2014. Now, you notice they say three nations affected. Actually, there's been five nations where people have died from Ebola. And if you include those nations, as Kit Daniels noticed in our article, Ebola may have already crossed the border, secret Border Patrol report shows. He points out that if you count the nations where people have died and where there have been cases where it's been contracted, all of the nations, not just the ones where we've had hundreds of people die, but the ones where it is now broken into, like Nigeria, that number goes up to over 1,000. He said, nearly 1,000 illegals from Ebola-struck countries this year, meaning many more have not been apprehended. That's what he says in the top of the article. And yet, he points out, and this is key, because although the article says that Ebola may have already crossed, it is definitely crossed. Because if it hasn't come across from people coming through our open borders that the feds have purposely opened up, that they told the Border Patrol agents to stand down and not arrest people, not interdict people, if it hasn't come across that way, they've actually brought people in, of course. He says, instead of stopping illegal immigration, the Obama administration is outright encouraging it and has even gone so far as allowing Ebola patients to enter the United States, which is an unprecedented move. It raises the risk of an outbreak even higher as the hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, where the patients are being treated, doesn't follow a high level of biocontainment precautions. And as Alex Jones pointed out, that hospital is only a level 2 biocontainment center, and they have 4 levels of biocontainment. So it's not the highest. It's not the next to the highest. It's the third from the highest level of containment. Now, on WorldNet Daily, WND.com, Michael Savage wrote an article, and of course, he has a Ph.D., in epidemiology, and he asks, what's behind this? Why would they do something like this? He asks the question, he says, let's start with common sense. If a member of your family has a viral illness known as the common cold, what do you normally do? Well, you try to avoid contact with that person. Certainly, you want to avoid them sneezing on you or droplets from their cough spreading anywhere in the house, so you isolate and avoid an infected patient. Well, Ebola is a viral illness like a cold. And so he says common sense would dictate that you isolate and avoid contact with patients because in this case, this is a fatal disease for which we do not have a treatment yet. But what does the government do? He says the morons who are running America are bringing infected patients to America allegedly to treat them, but we all know that this is untreatable. It can only be managed. Well, maybe they're not just morons. Maybe they're minions. And what Michael Savage does is he looks at it and he says, let's take a look at the money. Let's follow the money behind this. Why would they bring these people here? They say that we have to fight our fears. We have to remain compassionate. And he said, yet the FDA is making exceptions to its protocols in bringing these people in. A very serious exception of those protocols. They say that previously it wasn't widespread enough and there wasn't enough fear about people being infected with Ebola. But now if they hype it up, now if they bring people into the country and if they are able to cure them, they could conceivably make billions of dollars by requiring this vaccine from everyone. That is a possible explanation. Of course, we know that they would like to have a crisis, a pandemic, any kind of crisis. Every crisis for them is an opportunity to grow the footprint and the intrusion of the government, perhaps to create martial law. Well, stay with us. At the end of the show, we're going to have a special report from Alex Jones, and he's going to look at what's going on behind this collapse of the border, and now we see the possibility of pandemics coming in. Now, this shock video that we were sent, take a look at this. A Border Patrol admitting that citizenship doesn't really exist under Obama.
Are you doing U.S. Border Patrol? How many people on board?
Me?
U.S. citizen.
Yeah, but does it really matter?
Not anymore, unfortunately. Thank you.
You too.
So you catch that? The guy asked him, does it really matter if I'm a U.S. citizen? And he says, unfortunately not. You see, the federal government doesn't really care if someone comes across into the border, if they're going to essentially force you to support them, if perhaps they're going to come across and commit acts of violence. No, what they're really concerned about are not illegals, but they're concerned about citizens who question whether or not they're violating the law, who question their authority. This is an article from Kurt Nimmo on InfoWars.com today. DHS-funded consortium warns that sovereign citizens are the number one domestic terror threat. It says that a University of Maryland project funded by the Department of Homeland Security has designated the so-called sovereign citizen movement as the number one terrorist threat in America. And as Kurt Nimmo points out, sovereign citizens don't constitute a cohesive movement, although the government characterizes it as such. In other words, there's not any organization where you go and join up as a sovereign citizen like you would join the Ku Klux Klan or something like that. But, of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center likes to portray it as such, and essentially what they are terrorist pimps. The SPLC works with the DHS to formulate the terrorist threat posed by citizens that allegedly belong to this movement. And according to the report that was issued last month, quote, sovereign citizens were the top concern of law enforcement and ranked ahead of neo-Nazis, of the KKK, the Patriot Movement, other idiosyncratic sectarians, as they put it, including survivalists. Now, how is a survivalist a threat to the government? Well, I guess it does threaten the police state. Certainly, they seem to be threatened by it. And if you look at this table here, look at that. You can see sovereign citizens up at the top, the potential threat. They're a 3.2 versus Islamic extremists who are ranked as only a 2.89. There you go. Now, I think it's kind of significant, frankly, that when we came back from the Bundy Ranch, of course, that happened on a Saturday, and on Monday, Glenn Beck had Mr. Bundy on his program, and they were pushing him, asking him, gee, you sound an awful lot like a sovereign citizen. Are you a sovereign citizen? He had no idea what they were talking about. It's a very vague term. It's something like an assault rifle, which essentially means whatever they wish it to mean at any given time. It's something that sounds scary, and they do scare law enforcement about it. It is the FBI that is scaring people about it. And as Kurt Nimmo points out in his article, the FBI has been the source of most of the domestic terror threats that have happened. And we've shown this over and over again. We've had Judge Napolitano has spoken at length about most of the threats coming from the FBI. So the FBI is concerned about their image, and they have hired a firm, now we learn, according to a request for a proposal, to rate positive and negative stories about the agency. This is from the Washington Times, and they say the FBI is hiring a contractor to grade news stories about the agency as either positive, neutral, or negative. They want them to score the news coverage as part of a new daily news briefing service that the agency is seeking as part of a contract that could last for up to 5 years. And this is coming from their public affairs office. They say they need a contractor that's going to help them monitor breaking news, editorials, long-form journalism projects, and the larger public conversation about law enforcement. See, This is what we keep telling you over and over again. The government, the federal government, is rapidly moving into propaganda mode. They have legalized things that have been prohibited, activities that they've been prohibited from since the Cold War. They propagandized communist countries in Eastern Europe. They were prohibited from doing that here domestically. They've lifted that prohibition. They have consistently talked about how no one believes them anymore. They have to monitor public opinion. They have to manipulate public opinion. We see this increasingly on Facebook. We see that Palantir, which is a large contractor for data mining for the federal government, has now acquired someone who does that with Twitter. They want to monitor public opinion constantly so they can then alter it. And they want to know what people are doing about it. But of course, a journalism professor also points out that this has another aspect besides just manipulating the public. Journalism professor at Northwestern University, Dan Kennedy, says it raises troubling questions for journalism. He said, you would certainly worry that this could affect your access. It might affect the way they're going to approach your questions, whether they're going to be extra careful not to make the news if you're on the bad list. In other words, you got to be careful with these guys or they're not going to give you access. They will punish you by removing access. And that is the thing that really pulls back and destroys freedom of the press. Look at this report that just came out today about what the New York Times has been doing regarding their reporting in Gaza. Now, this is from Greg Mitchell, who is someone who works for The Nation or used to be a writer for The Nation. And he points out what happened in the narrative in Gaza. He says, the New York Times today casually mentions one specific thing that was axed by Israeli censors in the wake of the soldiers' alleged capture. And, of course, that was portrayed as him being kidnapped, as him being seized. But, of course, soldiers have traditionally been captured. And so you have to start asking a question right there when they start using non-traditional terms to try to make this guy look like a victim when he's a soldier. You have to kind of question the narrative there. But he goes beyond that and he says there were connections that they were prohibited from talking about. He was connected to the country's defense chief. In other words, this would be like the Secretary of Defense in our country. They were not allowed to say that the guy that was captured was related to equivalent to the Secretary of Defense. He said, of course, such a detail would have also informed the New York Times readers about one reason for Israel's fury, which resulted in over 200 deaths. He said Israel at that time already suspected that the soldier might have been killed and not captured because it was already testing remains for DNA. Yet they stated flatly, and the New York Times focused on this, that the soldier was captured and not killed. Now, he has several updates to the story. In his second update, he had said the New York Times publishes the first story since the quote-unquote censorship order, and it complies by reading a section of the story over the phone to Israeli officials. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. Just a couple of hours before they read this article to the Israeli government to get their approval for how they had worded it, what they had said, just a couple of hours before that, the New York Times editor had said this. He said, the very idea of censorship or gag orders by a foreign government is a disturbing one, not only for journalists, but all of those who value the free flow of information. And it's heartening to hear that the New York Times has not submitted any articles for review, and I hope it will remain the case as the situation develops. Well, that isn't what happened. That's why you have to be very concerned about any news source, especially news sources that are always in the inner circle, because they have typically traded that access. They've traded their journalistic integrity for that access. Not always, but that's often the case. Now, stay with us. Right after the break, we're going to have some interesting stories about the threat of robots. And also, this week is the Black Hat Conference in Las Vegas, and we're starting to learn some things about how easy it is to hack into the Internet of Things. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee. And it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com. This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here. An electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution. The new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Now, what if Tony Stark, of course, the scientist who actually is Iron Man in the comic books, what if he told you that the greatest threat to humanity was a supervillain named Artificial Intelligence, AI? Well, the real-life Tony Stark, as Defense One points out, is Elon Musk, and he has said exactly that. He said in a tweet today, he said, "It's worth reading Superintelligence by Bostrom. We need to be super careful with AI. It is potentially more dangerous than nukes." And, of course, the book that he's referring to is Superintelligence, Paths, Dangers, and Strategies. Now, we hear all the time from Ray Kurzweil and other people who are very excited about what they call the singularity, where we merge in part or in whole with machines. We hear all the time about how wonderful AI is going to be. But at the same time, they will admit that there is a possibility that this intelligence may go its own way and have no use for us or actually become malevolent towards us. And this is something that a research fellow at the Future of Humanity Institute said. He had this interesting point. He said, an AI might want to do certain things with matter in order to achieve goals, things like building a giant computer or other large-scale engineering projects. Those things might involve intermediary steps like tearing apart the Earth to make huge solar panels. A superintelligence might not take our interests into consideration in those situations, just like we don't take root systems or ant colonies into account where we go to construct a building. And I would say it's not too much unlike the elitist attitude of tyranny that we see from the globalist elite towards us, is it? They don't really take our interest into effect when they have a project that they want to do, whether it's something as prosaic as NAFTA and a trade sections in the in North America, then joining these trade sections to Asia, to Europe, into a one world government. They don't really take our interest into account either. So I'm not sure. Maybe it won't be that much different than the current situation we have right now. Later this week, there is going to be a Black Hat seminar in Las Vegas. Now, that's a time when hackers get together and talk about vulnerabilities in systems. And of course, it's not really clear. Some of these guys are trying to stop these types of things from happening, but there is a huge presence at this convention always with the U.S. intelligence system looking to find people that they can hire as hackers to break into your equipment. Now, a couple of things have come out. One of them that's going to be presented this week, and it's reported in RT today, airplanes could be taken over through in-flight entertainment systems, claims a hacker. Now, actually, he's with a cybersecurity firm, IO Active, and he's going to be presenting a talk which says SATCOM terminals hacking by air, sea, and land on Thursday. And he says he's going to demonstrate how satellite communication systems used by the likes of commercial airlines and oil rigs can be infiltrated by malicious actors and altered to let unauthorized attackers take control. In other words, they could, using a satellite communication system, take over an airplane, fly it wherever they wish. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Or they could take over a ship and fly it into wherever they wish. And he says that devices sold by the world's leading SATCOM vendors contain substantial security flaws. And the quote is, he says, 100% of those devices could be abused. Another reporter for Reuters writes that these exploits may allow anyone with the right information to hack satellite communications used on passenger jets, gaining access through in-flight services provided to civilian passengers. In theory, a hacker could use a plane's onboard Wi-Fi signal or the in-flight entertainment system to hack into its avionic equipment, potentially disrupting or modifying satellite communications, which could interfere with the aircraft's navigation and safety systems. Now, it's not just that, but in a more prosaic way, even your car, of course, is vulnerable to these types of hacks. Anything that is part of what they call the Internet of Things. And you remember a few years ago, David Petraeus said, we're going to be able to listen to people through their home appliances. Well, that's now not so much of a reach as we understand. This is an article from Wired Magazine. It says, watch this wireless hack pop a car's locks in minutes. And what they show is a guy who essentially has a wireless lockpick for a car. He can basically break into this thing in just a short amount of time and get into the car without using any of their traditional burglary tools. This is something that really ought to concern you if you're going to buy this line that's being fed to everyone about how safe computer-driven cars are going to be. Now, they like to call them self-driving cars. Computer-driven cars are going to be driven by computers, by the people who write the algorithms. And, of course, there will be some safety issues with those because they are not 100% accurate, as anyone who's ever used software understands, as anyone who has ever used their GPS systems understands. But they are also vulnerable to malicious attacks from either hackers or from the government itself. And we found out just last week that the FBI said that they were concerned about possibly having car bombers take over remote-controlled vehicles, laying the groundwork for the idea that the FBI ultimately, or the federal government homeland systems, need to control your car and not you. They're talking about cars that won't have steering wheels, cars that won't have brakes. So keep that in mind as you watch this wireless hack of a car's security system that only takes a few minutes. Now, if you're not a supporter of Prison Planet TV, we would like for you to consider supporting our operation. Of course, one membership can be shared with up to 11 people simultaneously, giving you access, as it happens, to every night's nightly news and access to all of Alex Jones's fine documentaries. Now, right after the break, stay with us. Alex is going to be talking about, of course, the open borders and the effect that has on the concerns about Ebola. Stay with us.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Secure your fluoride shield at InfoWarsLife.com today. And finally tonight, we look deeper at the other angles surrounding the global pandemic that is the Ebola outbreaks of 2014. First off, it's important to understand that we have a long history not just here in the U.S., but with other Western governments, including the Japanese, of secret, lethal, chemical, biological, and radiological testing on populations. So governments have been caught producing weaponized pathogens, both bacterial and viral, and releasing them on their own populations, not just populations that they're having wars with. And this goes to really the whole mad scientist type system that we've seen pop up in the psychology of scientific elites throughout history. This is not the exception. This is the rule that whether it was the Soviets or the Japanese or the communist Chinese or the imperial Chinese or the South Africans or the Mexican government or the U.S. government, they're constantly testing lethal pathogens on their own populations and claiming it's for resource purposes. The general population is seen as animals or as slaves. So this is part of that larger debate. There's a lot of evidence linking the development of Ebola and when it first began to show up on the scenes in the last 40 years to Western bioweapons laboratories that were on the Gold Coast, the Western coast of Africa. And then by 2002, tens of billions of dollars were spent for a program called BioShield. And under the cover of creating cures for biological weapons or treatments, they built bioweapons labs all over the United States, including in populated areas, despite protest, like at the University of Texas in Galveston, right where hurricanes hit, and didn't even put the deadly pathogens in containment facilities underground. They did it in level two facilities. That's just like bringing Ebola-infected patients to general hospitals. It is a crime. So the question is, why are they so reckless? Now we see two different members of the medical community who are U.S. citizens being brought back to a major university hospital in Atlanta, not in a level 3 or 4 bioweapons lab where it might be able to be contained, but just under plastic inside of a regular medical facility with part of a wing sealed off. These hospitals can't even control flesh-eating bacteria, MRSA, drug-resistant strep, and other things. So they certainly can't contain Ebola. And about 2 years ago, top scientists came out, and I'm going to show you some of these articles coming up, and said, look, Ebola appears to be actually airborne. Now, it's not hardy airborne. It doesn't last a long time in the air, but it does appear in monkey and pig studies to be transferable between different species, but also between the same species. And Ebola appears to be getting stronger and to be mutating. So why is our government shipping people into the U.S. that have Ebola and who can spread it? Now, Ebola can take a while to show up, too, so it's perfect to infect somebody and then bring them in if you want to spread it. And even if only a few hundred people died in the U.S. from Ebola, and they think as many as 33,000 could be infected worldwide right now, around 1,000 deaths. They know of thousands that are infected, but over 30,000, they believe, with the models that have come in contact with it, they believe that it could easily end up breaking out here in the U.S., and just the hype and the fear from that would be crippling for the economy, but would allow Homeland Security and other globalist control systems to clamp down medical-wise and have forced inoculations and things and bring another level of tyranny to the United States like 9/11 did. Now let's look at the big issue. Al-Qaeda is real, IS is real, ISIS is real, and the globalists running our government, NATO, have been giving them chemical weapons to attack Syria, have been giving them the precursors of biological weapons, so that they can be able to basically produce them. Just like our own government after 2001 even was still giving Saddam Hussein things like anthrax. Look that up. So if they ever wanted to release it and blame him, they could say that he had it. So here's the latest leaked Border Patrol high-level report shows entire world exploiting open U.S. border. But in the report, and Drudge pointed this out today, showed at InfoWars.com, you notice that of the thousands, 874 that came in from Nigeria alone and got caught, they think they only catch a fraction, so it's actually more than 874 people coming in from Nigeria, Sierra Leone, and countless other areas. Just 874 from one country alone in the last year that they caught. And here's our headline breaking it down. Ebola may have already crossed border, secret Border Patrol report shows. There's no doubt feds are shipping illegals from Ebola-hit countries across the U.S. at taxpayer expense. CDC concerned about airborne transmission of Ebola virus, Infowars.com. And our report links to the CDC and to mainline medical journals that were saying 2 years ago, it appears to now be airborne. Did you hear that? In fact, here's the article from 2 years ago. From pigs to monkeys, Ebola goes airborne. And this report from healthmap.org gives all the links to the CDC and other studies and statements on that front. Now, doctors that have come in from Africa that were even around Ebola have been self-quarantining, and they've been basically asking, Zero Hedge has an article out on it, why weren't we quarantined to begin with? That's federal law. So the issue here, there's a lot of issues, but one of the big issues here is why aren't they doing normal quarantine procedures on doctors that were treating people that are coming back? Why did they fly back these Ebola patients and just put them into a hospital full of people, granted on their own part of a wing? Why are they being so reckless? Do they want to be blamed if it breaks out? What's the motive there? Or do they want plausible deniability when they actually release Ebola to bring in basically martial law? We've already seen the border drop. We've already seen Al-Qaeda funded to kill 300,000 plus people called ISIS as the new branding name to confuse the public. We've already seen the dollar being devalued. We've already seen Fast and Furious and Benghazi and other false flags. The sky is literally the limit. And now Obama has come out, we'll play a clip of it, and said, hey, I will decide about amnesty by the end of summer in the next 3-4 weeks. He will decide, not Congress, who's already voted and said no, so he's already involved in open borders by executive fiat. It's called dictatorship, so why not go further with guns or anything else for that matter? Here's that clip.
Well, I will continue to push House Republicans to drop the excuses and act, and I hope their constituents will too. America cannot wait forever for them to act. And that's why today I'm beginning a new effort to fix as much of our immigration system as I can on my own, without Congress.
I have said over and over again that they are staging crises and exacerbating them. Al-Qaeda is real, but they're being funded by the West so they can take our liberties. Just like Katrina, they ordered a stand down of the local police and military, caused a disaster to be much worse. FEMA then demanded double the funding for disasters and got it. Government in the past would get in trouble for screw-ups. Now they get more power out of screw-ups. And since they became unaccountable and get rewarded for things getting worse, they're making things worse by design to get more control. They don't let a good crisis go to waste. Whether it's Ebola, whether it's the border collapsing, whether it's drug-resistant TB, you name it. And they came out this week again and announced homegrown Tea Party libertarian gun owners, veterans, are the number one terror threat, and they believe we're going to start blowing stuff up. Well, what they're saying is we're going to stage stuff and blame it on our only opposition, a group that still understands what America is all about and who wants stability and rule of law and freedom. We're going to set them up like we've set everybody else up. What you're witnessing is the conquering of America. What you're witnessing is the takeover if we let them do it. The good news is patriots for more than 60 years have known of this globalist plan. They've been proven right over and over again. Most of them were former military, CIA, FBI, you name it. The John Birch Society that I'm not a part of, but that I really respect because their information has been about 100% on. And Ron Paul has been right. I have been right. Countless others have been right. This is happening. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Because you are the solution. Getting involved, saying no, pointing out the elephant in the room. That's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Great job of the crew and David Knight that was sitting in here just earlier. Me and David might go. Well, he doesn't drink, but we may go out and have dinner or something. Who knows? And Travis, his son's over there running things, doing a great job as well. Until tomorrow night, Lord willing, we'll be back here. Don't take the free independent media for granted. Promote it. Promote
open free internet or we will lose it. This is a critical time in history, folks. And don't forget, if you're watching, you are the resistance.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.